the reason why we stand here now forgiven. Jesus is alive. There's a reason why we are not overtaken. There's a reason why we sing on through the night. There's a reason why our hope remains eternal. Jesus is alive.
Was free, born in For prayer before we go any further, please pray for Ophelia Logan. They put her in the hospital yesterday. Ophelia's got colon cancer. We knew that. We want to be praying for her that she does better and they can go ahead and start her treatment very soon and get her on the mend. So pray for her. We want to welcome our visitors here this morning. No new faces, I don't think, but some return visitors, and we're certainly glad that you chose to come back and give us a second shot. We had Vacation Bible School this last week, had a really good one. We were down considerably on kids, just one of those years, that's all right, but we were up on servants, adults, helpers. We, hands down, we have the best team of servants here at this church on the planet, by the way. They're none bigger, none better. They all fell in, went to work, and if you've never been around our Vacation Bible School, you know it's a big undertaking. I mean, there's a lot going on, and it all came together good because we had all hands on deck. And then when it's over on Friday night, we have a little hot dog cookout. And if you were to stand around and watch, it looks like a bunch of red ants. Helpers just fly into action and clean up everything, and we walk out of here by 9 o'clock like it never happened. I mean, it's just incredible bunch of people, and thank you for doing it. And we have people of all ages, by the way. You know, some of our older people came throughout the weekend or through the week, and it was good. So thank you. We will go ahead and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Please pray for Cooper. He woke up, he is up all night sick. And he is unable to be here this morning, so pray for him, and we'll go ahead and ask the blessing and get started here. Aaron Francis, will you lead us, please?
Amen. Thank you, be seated.
Remember the wrongs we have done, omniscient, all-knowing, He counts not their soul, thrown into a sea with a bottle shore. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is full. Praise the Lord. His mercy is more. see its home. What patience will wait as we constantly go? What far so tender is calling us home? He welcomes the weakest, the vilest, the poor. Our sins, they are many, His mercy is more. Praise the Lord, His mercy is more.
Praise the Lord of living waters. to you in the name of Jesus. We just praise you and thank you for the opportunity you've given us to be in your house. We ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you'll allow us to give our minds and our hearts over to you today. Listen to the Word of God and allow it to speak to us. We pray your Holy Spirit would move amongst us in this auditorium and in the junior church and children's church and every area of this facility, Lord, that the Word of God would prevail and put the seeds and plant the seeds that need to be planted in the hearts of each one of us. Lord, we lift up Ophelia to you. We love her. Lord, she's going through this cancer, Lord. She doesn't feel well. She's in the hospital now. I pray that you'd be merciful. We lift up Martha to you. We're grateful, Lord God, how you have given such mercy, Lord, in her taking these treatments and not having a great amount of sickness and discomfort with it. And Lord, I pray that you'd continue to do that and allow these treatments to be effective in getting rid of the cancer that she has. Father, there's so many other things that we could discuss and call upon your name for, and things we could thank you for, things we could praise you for, things we could confess before you. But we want to get into your word, Father, and we all have a lot of time to pray afterwards. We can pray on our own. We know that. So right now, Lord, we just want to hear from you. As we open our Bibles, we pray that you would speak, and we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Is this... Oh. No wonder. It's hanging down there. I was wondering, I think, man, that thing.
Okay. It's made for your ear, not your shoulder. So, okay, Psalms chapter 23. Psalms chapter 23. We were in this chapter last week and got started with it. And we'll continue on in that really most popular psalm that... that there is in the Bible. I just did a funeral just a couple of days ago in Amarillo, and we read this psalm at the graveside. It's off and it's done. So let's begin in verse 1 of Psalm 23. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We read this psalm last week, and we began to discuss some of the deeper meanings of this psalm, trying to kind of get a better understanding of the shepherd-sheep relationship as it was in Bible times. Multiple times the Bible speaks of the relationship, or it uses the relationship of sheep and shepherd as a picture of our relationship with God. He's our the Lord is our shepherd, and we're his sheep. He's a good shepherd. He wants good for us at all times, but we, when we understand that relationship in a basic sense, but we, there's so much more that is deeper in this psalm and even the other other places, the parable of the lost sheep and many other places that it talks about sheep and shepherd. And so we're digging a little bit deeper, trying to get beyond the surface of this analogy, trying to discover a little more detail about the nature and behavior of a Eastern shepherd, which is where this would have been coming from, and also discovering the nature and character of actual sheep, because that's what we are like. And then when we have a clearer understanding of those two, we'll have a better understanding of what God is trying to accomplish in our life as his sheep. We learned last week that a shepherd leads his sheep. Now, again, we're talking about Eastern shepherds the old-fashioned way. We have sheep in our country, but sheep are not led. There's not a man staying out in the pasture with them, leading them. It's a whole different story. But in ancient times, that was the case. And so the shepherd would take them where he wanted them to go, where he knew there was always some good, better grass, better water. He never led them. A good shepherd would never lead them
to the wrong place. He would always try to put them in the best situations, under the best circumstances, and he looked out for them at all times. So a sheep could safely follow his shepherd, knowing that the path was going to put him in a safe and a fulfilling place. Notice what it says there. It says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We touched on that. A sheep lying down in green pastures is nourished. It's satisfied. He's not out having to chase grass and try to find the next bite to fill his hunger. It's all right there in front of him because the shepherd has led him into that kind of pasture. So they're so satisfied that they're laying down and they're resting. Isn't that what we really want in our lives? We want to be satisfied. We want to have rest for our souls. He goes on to say that he leadeth me beside the still waters. That's a picture of peacefulness. God's people should not live in conflict. We discussed that. There's no room for a child of God to be contentious and disputing and in constant disagreement with others. We should be characterized by peace. And obviously there are going to be difficult people around us. We're going to encounter opposition. That can't be totally avoided, but as far as we are concerned, we should handle ourselves in a way that lends towards peace. We should be a peaceful people, and Christ's leadership will take us down those paths of peace. Now let's look at verse 3 once again. It says, he restoreth my soul, he leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Paths of righteousness here in the Hebrew, it literally just simply means right paths that are right and pure and just and equitable. And so we're going to look at this phrase just a little bit closer. Remember, it was different in Bible times. It wasn't like you and I know today. The land was not fenced off at those times in small sections or small parcels of land like it is as we know today. There were no fences to keep livestock from wandering off. It was what we would call in America open grazing, open range. So the sheep had been, if they had been left to themselves in those situations with no fences, they could wander and go most anywhere they wanted, good or bad. The options would be almost endless of where they could go if they didn't have a shepherd to lead them. They would probably wander aimlessly and find themselves in trouble. They may perhaps get so far away from the fold that they wouldn't be able to find their way back. They could expose themselves to predators and thieves or any other kind of dangerous situations. These are all possibilities. The Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25, it says, there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Have you ever taken a look at a person that's in a situation and you kind of ask yourself, where did they go wrong? Where did they get off course? How did they get to that place in their life? Prisons are full of convicted felons that somewhere along the way got off track. Addicts walk the streets. Drugs have devastated their lives and at some point, and it seems like their lives are irreparable because of that. They're not, because Jesus could really change that. But then there's others. There's alcohol is rampant, or alcoholism rather, and in some cases people have drank goodbye to their spouse. They've drank goodbye to their families. They've drank goodbye to their jobs. They've drank goodbye to their future if something doesn't change. Where did they get off track? When did they step off the right path? Gambling, as innocent as it may seem, has taken people into its grip, especially of late, to the point that it's not only consumes all their time, but all of their resources and their savings. And if they don't get help, it's going to consume their futures. All of these and many more are examples of mankind trying to make his own way through life. On his own, being led by his or her own desires, their own devices. And there's no limit to the destruction that we can walk our way into if we do not have a shepherd to lead us. You know, sheep could easily be overtaken by a predator if they were left to themselves. They're very vulnerable. They could meet a sudden demise. I was just talking with a friend just a few days ago about when he was young and an occurrence when they took on a bunch of sheep in their farmland, leased out to run the sheep, and the sheep were continually falling in the furrows of the plowed land and couldn't get, they would get their feet up in there and wouldn't be able to get up. They were helpless. And they would lay there if you didn't come along. They would die there. They were just totally vulnerable and helpless. But more times than not, a sheep's downfall or a herd of sheep's downfall would be more subtle than those sort of things, than a predator or those sort of accidents. It would be a slower progression, and here's why. I'm not a sheep man, and I don't speak from experience, but it's my understanding that sheep are creatures of habit. So without a shepherd to lead them, sheep were prone to follow the same old trails and graze the same old hills in the same areas all the time. They didn't want to leave what was familiar to them. And so they would, what they would do is they would do that left to themselves. They would do that to the point that that land would become depleted of its vegetation. Sheep have very small mouths and sharp teeth, and unlike cattle who will bite off grass that and leave about a little bit above ground, when they bite, a sheep would actually gnaw the grass off to the ground to the point that the roots become damaged. And with that, then the soil begins to erode. The landscape becomes more and more barren and destitute of its vegetation. It just gets, and the sheep keep going to the same place. And then hoof action begins to cause to pack the soil underneath their feet. And so when a good rain comes, it's unable to soak in, but it would run off to lower places, which continued to the desolate effect. In essence, the sheep, with their own patterns of behavior, doing things their own way, were creating for themselves a very unhealthy environment. One that wouldn't provide the nutrition that they need. One that wouldn't satisfy them. It's said that in Spain and North Africa and Greece and New Zealand, countries where there are great populations of sheep, that there's great expanses of land that have been all but destroyed from overgrazing of sheep. It can hardly rebound. Reduced to wastelands because the flocks were left to their own habits. No management or poor management has led to the destruction of the very pastures that could give them fulfillment and the nutrition that they needed. They could be green and lush if the sheep were not left to themselves. I know this is not a sermon about our nation, but I can't think of any more accurate picture than this of a nation that abandons God's leadership. Just slowly and methodically making our own choices, taking step after step in the direction that we desire to go, rather than what's best for us according to God. Folks, America's not going to have to be hit by a nuclear warhead to be destroyed. It's a continued slow erosion of morals and values, and it's polluting the environment around us, depleting our land of what once made us rich. We were rich in God's blessings, making it our country desolate of virtue. Until one day, in our weakened state, it's probably going to result in some kind of demise. I don't mean to be pessimistic, but we're going our own way. Amen. We're not going God's way. I know there's a change of course of late and a return to a lot of more conservative type ideas, but by no stretch of the imagination have we returned to God. Amen. Sheep left to their own behavioral patterns and habits are a picture of you and I when we're left to our own behavior and our own choices. It results in a spoiled environment, weakened marriages, unhealthy family situations, poor finances, undesirable job conditions and undesirable relationships. I've said this time and time again, and I'll say it now. People are where they are because of how they are. The same paths over and over again, leading to the same old bad situations in the old places. They never change. And then we scratch our heads and we wonder why the landscape won't improve. Because we haven't changed our steps. We haven't changed our paths. Isaiah 53 and verse 6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his way." We were meant to have a shepherd. We were meant to be led by God, someone to take us down paths of righteousness. I don't want to throw any of my family under the bus by what I'm about to say, but this is a simple fact. The way I was raised, or really not raised, maintained, taught to survive, rather, didn't provide me with leadership in righteousness. It just didn't. Remember what righteousness is: what is right, pure, just, and equitable. It simply was not there in my upbringing. Yes, the basic things of don't kill anyone, don't rob banks, don't mistreat your neighbor, those things were there, but beyond that, it was pretty much anything goes. And it wasn't just the absence of Bible, it wasn't just the absence of prayer and the absence of church, it was an absence of instruction in basic morals and values. It just wasn't there. No leadership in virtuous things. Sin was humorous to us. It made for good stories. We foolishly laughed at our dysfunction and wrongdoing. It's sad, but so. And by the way, all that time, if we would have been asked, we would have told people, yes, we were Christians. And yes, we were Baptists, by the way. Nowhere for Christ to be found in our life, and we never attended a Baptist church, but we were Baptist Christians. That's just all we were. But the truth of the matter is, our lives in many ways were just morally bankrupt. If you don't believe me or you think I'm over exaggerating, let me just share this. I won't give you a bunch of gory details, but just this one detail. This is just a taste of the lack of leadership towards righteousness. I got drunk for the very first time when I was in sixth grade because I was fed whiskey at home by family members. Drunk, me and my brother got so drunk we were throwing up that night. He was in seventh grade, I was in sixth grade. And it affected each of us differently. I never drank again for about 4 years because I never wanted to be that sick again. And then at 16, I began to drink and drank hard for till I got saved. My brother, on the other hand, began at that moment in seventh grade to start indulging in alcohol. And then by the time he was 19, you guys know his story. Drunk driving changed his life forever, and he's been disabled for 41 years. Now, I'm not going to tell you more about our lives, but to believe me, there's more. But there were no paths of righteousness. I was not led down them. And again, my grandparents, my siblings that helped raise me, I'm so appreciative of them getting me raised. But there was nothing like that in the home. So I kind of did as I saw fit. That's what defined me for many years, just going my own way as I desired and as to my own devices. And it created surroundings and situations that were nothing short of destitute of virtue. That's until I met Jesus in my early 20s. Amen. To say that I was radically saved would be an understatement. When I accept the Lord Jesus Christ, I was all in, but the paths that he wanted to lead me down were very unfamiliar. They were pure and they were right. That was not the paths I was used to traveling. And so it took some time for me to learn to follow down those paths. Jesus says in Mark 8:34, he says, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." That verse tells us that there's two paths. There's the old familiar path that's easy, it comes natural to us, but it doesn't lead to good. And then there's the new paths of righteousness that he wants to lead us down. As our good shepherd, he wants to take us down. And they don't feel comfortable to us a lot of times, especially early in our Christianity. They're new. They're unfamiliar. But they're always good. They're always going to be good for us. And they will put us in good situations and good environments that they will lead us to healthy places. Will never put us in harm's way. I've told you this before. Isn't it funny that since Jesus took the lead in my life, I've not one time woke up with my head stuck to the pillow by vomit or blood. I've not one time been in a fist fight. I've not one time spent the night in jail, been hauled in a time or two. But no, I'm just kidding. I've not been thrown in jail. And these are things that my old past led me into. I'm going to tell you, Trisha Downer's a saint because she was with me through all of that. But now it's a whole different situation. The landscape of our lives, I would say, is very desirable and very healthy, very fulfilling and very satisfying. But what else should I expect? That's what the Good Shepherd leads you to. That's where he takes you. He knows what's best for us, and he will lead us accordingly. We are his sheep, and he knows where the lush pasture is. Psalms 100 and verse 3 says, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. What's your identity this morning? Who are you? What are you known for? Or what are you known as? We could answer that question a lot of different ways. I could answer that question, well, I'm a pastor. I'm a grandfather. I'm a husband. I'm a daddy. I'm a cowboy. I'm a preacher. And all of those would be fairly accurate answers. But first and foremost, folks, I'm a Christian. I'm one of God's people. I'm a sheep of his pasture. And we have to recognize and embrace that identity first and foremost. It should supersede any other identity that we have in life. And when that is taken seriously, and that is our first and foremost identity, and we're committed to that and fulfilling that role, it will put us on paths of righteousness. And it will put us in settings and situations and circumstances that are so healthy and so fulfilling. And get this, it will put us in situations that will make us better moms and better dads and better husbands and better wives and grandparents and better teachers and farmers and whatever your occupation may be. We'll just be better sheep. So what do we learn from this morning? How can we leave here better? How do we apply this? It's very simple. It's not complicated at all, but it's not always easy. So let me lay it out for you very quickly. First of all, Jesus cannot lead us in paths of righteousness if we don't belong to him. He leads his sheep. He doesn't lead other people's sheep. If we don't belong to him, if we're not born again, saved, children of God, then we can't be led by him. The psalmist says here, the Lord is my shepherd. He has a personal, that's my shepherd. I'm his sheep. I belong to him. So we have to belong to him. We are spinning our wheels if we try to start trying to live by paths of righteousness. Yeah, you can improve your life. And yes, you can turn over your leaf, a new leaf, and you can become a more moral person. But you're not being led by the shepherd until you know the shepherd. It's got to be personal. So if you're here and you're not a child of God, you're not born again, you've never been saved, you've never had your sins forgiven, please, 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 please come talk to me and say, Brother Chris, I need to know more about this. And I'll share with you what it means to become a child of God. But once we are his, then we still have choices to make. We discussed this last week. We're not robots. We're not pre-programmed to only do what God wants. We have free wills. It's up to us to make the right choices. I'll repeat the verse that we looked at earlier. Jesus said in Mark 8:34, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Two paths there. Our paths that we want to follow by our own desires, or the paths of Jesus. We have a choice. We have to learn to first deny our paths, our desires, the things that we want to do, the things that come natural to us. We have to deny them. In other words, say no to them. And then say yes to the paths that Jesus wants to put us on, to follow him. Once we've walked away from our own paths, our own selfish desires and passions, then there's another option that we can follow and recognize that Jesus wants to take us down his paths that are so much better. And we have to fully, as I close here, we have to fully embrace his leadership. He's a good shepherd, folks. And he's not going to take us down paths or into situations that will harm us. But his paths may be difficult. The terrain might be a little rougher than we're used to. We might get a little bit tired going his paths. But if we realize that the Good Shepherd, this is all a part of his plan to getting us where we need to be, we follow his leadership. Whether it be difficult, challenging, tiring, whatever, we realize that it's those very things that are taking us closer and closer to the green pastures he wants us on. He doesn't say the paths will be easy. In fact, the paths of righteousness are often not easy, but they're worth it. I've told you my story multiple times. I've just been here so long. You've heard it and you've heard it. The question is, has the paths of righteousness been good for me? Absolutely. It would be impossible for me to overstate how good God's paths have been for me and my family. And because we chose to the best of our ability, by the way, not infallibly, but because we chose the paths of righteousness, Trish and I, in our early 20s, and said, Jesus, we want you to take the lead here. We've been put in settings and situations, Bible Baptist Church is one of those, that have been so fulfilling, so healthy for us. And because we raised our children, not flawlessly at all, but we raised them in paths of righteousness, to the best of our ability. Had they ever get off track? Yeah, they got off track, but they returned to their roots. And now we reap the benefits of watching them raise their families in the same way. I can't think of anything that's better. When we deny ourselves, folks, and we say, Jesus, you take the lead. You take us where you want us to go. And we're committed to that leadership to say, however difficult it is, however bad we want to turn back, we'll follow you, Lord Jesus. There's no end to the blessings that he'll lead us into. I'm going to ask you to stand. I'll return to the one point that I made a moment ago. You can't be led by Jesus if you don't know Jesus. He doesn't lead sheep that are not his. The Lord is my shepherd. It's personal. You got to know him personally. But when you do, and you let him have the leadership in your life, and you say goodbye, and you deny to your own desires, you deny your own paths, and you say, Jesus, lead me down your paths, it's good, Pastor, folks. It's very satisfying, and it's very healthy. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads, if you will. We're going to have a verse of invitation. If God's spoken to you about anything, you come.